Well, good morning, Sunrise. How is everybody doing this morning? How are you guys? Come on. How are you guys doing this morning? Hopefully you're doing all right. You know, I've heard enough people walk up to me over this last week when I'm like, how are you doing? Or they just walk up to me and their first word they say to me is, oi! And I'm getting a little worried here that, like, soon the mission statement for this church is just going to be simply, oi. It's great to be here. I have been having a great time over the last 8 days. I'll just answer the question that you're all wondering right now as I'm up here. And it is, yes. Sarah and I did argue over these pants this morning. She said they are too blue. And I said they're just the right amount of blue. Although I'm colorblind, so when she watches this and she's been watching the sermons online, I know in this moment over the next half an hour, I win. But I know when I get off the plane tomorrow, I will not win. So it's really been fun being here and spending time with you and just the love that you've showed for me. I've had so much fun going around to all of the different Bible studies and events and choir. I mean, I got to be here. I got my Thanksgiving turkey dinner in on Wednesday, which was awesome. There was the craft fair. I actually saved a lot of money by not having Sarah down here while the craft fair was on. So that was a good thing as well. But tomorrow I head home in the afternoon as I make the long journey back to Regina. And it's sad to go, but I miss Sarah. I miss Ari and I miss Levy, and I know they would have loved to be down here, and so they, of course, send their greetings. We have been looking at beyond the walls of this church. Last week, we took a look at the statement of what is life on the inside look like, and really actually starting to ask the question of how we can build each other up day in and day out, not just on Sundays, but with everything that goes on here, to find ourselves in a place where we are very comfortable with walking out these doors and taking a look at what it means for us to see where we live and where we dwell as a mission field. And hopefully you've had a chance over the last week to really take a look at that. And maybe it's looking at your neighborhood for the first time through that lens of a missionary or seeing some of the needs that are going on in the community. And that is where we need to start. But today we're looking at really starting to take those steps forward and what it means for life on the outside. And when we actually start to look at what it means for us day in and day out to take those steps of action. We've viewed our neighborhoods. We've looked at our places of where we work or where we dwell during the week. And now we're saying, God, put me into action. What does that mean for me to go into action? And what does that look like, God? And just, God, show me this so I can actually take these steps. And we find ourselves this morning in John chapter 17. If you've got your Bibles, you can follow along or your Bible apps and open those up and press John and then press 17, however it works. But if you are following along in your Bibles, you can read along with me as we do this. And what I often see as we look at what it means to live daily outside these walls is often there's this impression that we get that to be in the world is to be really stuck there. And really having to just go about the week so I can get back to the comfort. And Sundays are meant to be comfortable. They're meant to be challenging. They're meant to be a place where we are comfortable to share and comfortable to grow. But we talked also that outside these walls, like God, sharing the gospel, Jesus points his disciples to a lot of uncomfortable places and says, go. oftentimes he tells them, just go with the sandals on your feet and the shirt on your back and find people in the neighborhood and in the communities where I'm sending you who will take care of you. And trust in me. And so we want to take a look at what it means to really be in the world. And often we hear this kind of phrase of being in the world, but not of it. And we're going to explore that this morning. And I'm excited for that. John chapter 17. And we're going to read the whole thing because I think it is a great passage. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you have granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those who have given, to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them words. I gave them the words you gave me and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you and that they believed that you sent me. I prayed for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still here. I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that you may be you may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them. I kept them safe, they kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except one doomed to destruction so scripture could be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of joy within them. I have given them your word and the world has hated them for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And there is a lot of sending going on here, isn't there? There's a whole bunch that is happening here and I know it was a lot in that passage, but we're going to go through it bit by bit because I really believe that this is Jesus' prayer and this is Jesus' pep talk at the same time for the disciples who are now about to step into the world on their own. Jesus, knowing his time on earth is limited, he's given them this pep talk and praying to God for protection for the disciples as they are now on their own and they've just got each other, yet they're going to be scattered. But the mission has not changed. And Jesus is emphasizing that the mission has not changed. Now, I know we just read John chapter 17, but you'll notice that in verse 1, the very first thing we read is, after Jesus said this, which we should probably explore. After he said what? Right? We reread the passage, and if it starts with, and then Jesus said this, then we got to know what's happening next. After he had said this, we see that in John 16, if you just turn the page or slide, you know, press the slide back button, John 16 is talking to his disciples, and he's told them, in a little while you won't see me anymore. Jesus is going through this explanation of what it really looks like, the near future looks like. And they're having a tough time grasping it. They're having a tough time understanding that the person that they've relied on day in and day out over the years is not going to be with them anymore. Why? Why is there this trouble in their hearts? Why is there confusion in their hearts? Well, one, they don't understand the full ramifications of everything that's happening. But also, at the same time, do you think they're a little scared? the one they've relied on, their rabbi, their teacher, the one who's taught them everything and sent them out, but when they come back, encourage them, the one who's rebuked them and helped get them on the straight and narrow, when they start to stray a little bit and get focused on other things, is not going to be with them. And this is why I want to focus on life on the outside. Because Sunday mornings feel great. I mean, we sit there and I just close my eyes as we are sitting there and singing, "Oh, praise the name of the Lord Most High. Oh, praise his name forevermore." Like, sometimes I just have to stop and close my eyes and just listen to God's people gathering together and giving thanks and praising God and saying that we will profess your name forevermore. That is a beautiful thing. And from the beginning of when we become Christ followers to eternity, we will be praising God's name. We read of the angels who are praising God's name and shouting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," day in and day out. And that is their dream job, of just praising God forever. And I mean, it is amazing to think of that, right? Yet at the same time, no matter how beautiful it is in this moment, 10 o'clock is going to roll around. Or if I'm preaching, maybe 10:15, but it's... But 10 o'clock is going to roll around, right? And we're going to have to go out into the parking lot, which is still fairly safe, depending on who's driving. And it's and we're going to have to turn out of the parking lot of the church. And at times, it can feel like there's this, like... Here we go. Like, who knows what's going to happen this week? And you got to understand that this is how the disciples felt, right? This is what was going through the disciples' head of Jesus going to be gone. And there's this, here we go. What do we do next? In fact, in his disciples say, after Jesus has been saying this in John 16:29 and 30, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech," after he explains that he's not going to be with them. "Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." You see how 16 is just setting up 17 here? Of how all of a sudden there's this realization of, again, just... where Jesus has come from and who he is, the Son of God. And that leads us into 17, which is this great prayer of protection for them as they go, as this new reality seeks in. In 16:33, I'll read from 31, it says, "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, in fact, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each of you to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Oh, I love this. You are not alone. I love in this, it'll say, "You will have peace." Do you understand that in this passage, they are not separating the peace that you will have with the presence of God? It is one and the same. So as you are worried, as you are having trouble, and you are asking God for peace, and you receive that peace, do you understand that you are experiencing the presence of God in that peace? Man, that is an amazing thing to understand. That is amazing reality as we go outside these walls, that we're not alone, that the presence of God is with us. Jesus is praying this prayer of protection on them. And I think what we see right from here, as we're about to jump into this, and we are jumping into this, is that Christ followers will experience trouble, won't they? I think that if we think that life is going to be sunshine and rainbows and unicorns and all things happy, I'm assuming, then that's what happy things are, you know, then, and we just think that we're going to skip along life and it's not going to get tough, then we're going to be in for a very big surprise. But just because it is tough does not mean that we are alone. Just because it is tough does not mean that that there are not those, there are not others with us. Just because we feel alone and we're in trouble does not mean that the presence of God is not there. In fact, this passage reinforces the fact that the presence of God is with us as we go beyond these walls. So what should we be afraid of? I think it's very clear. I don't think I even need a consensus on this. I don't think we even need a poll in any way. But it's fairly straightforward that our beliefs will conflict with culture, right? It's pretty straightforward that what we believe and what the world believes, there's going to be conflict there. And oftentimes we think of this as trouble, right? What happens when I go into work and someone says on Monday, how was your week? And I say, great. And they say, what did you do? And out of my mouth comes, well, I had a great time at church, right? Or I was in a Bible study over the weekend and it was great. What is their response going to be? Is it going to be, that's weird? Is it I don't have time for religion in my life or anything or something like that? And there's that fear of what we might have to respond with. But the reality is that often, like what we teach in here and what we read in God's word is going to conflict with scripture. It's why Jesus had so many problems with the Romans and so many problems with the Pharisees, so many problems with all these different groups in his time, because what he was saying was a message totally different than what the world was expecting to hear. In a world where the Pharisees were the religious leaders and the Sadducees were religious leaders, but the elite and part of the higher society in Israel, they did not like the idea that Jesus was saying he came for everyone. Because these were nice little clubs that they had. The Sadducees really didn't like Jesus because it was a very limited group of people who were allowed to be a part of it. And you had to fit into a certain demographic. And Jesus saying, I came for all. I came for the poor. I came for the widow. I came for the orphan. And more importantly, these days, he came for the sojourner. As I think of my own immigration status and trying to figure that out. And let me just give you a little update on that. We've been brainstorming. I realize many of you have been brainstorming all of the different ideas in which I can get down here quicker. And some of them are great. Some of them are not great. I mean, we've had everything from maybe you can claim asylum due to inclement weather. Which I don't think that I can just show up at the airport and say, it's minus 40 outside, I'm staying here. I'll try tomorrow. There's always the option, because we've seen it work already in the past over the summer, that we're working with Cliff and April to adopt me. which we haven't run it by April yet, but... because all of these different areas of life, Jesus was saying, you belong, right? Not just one select group. And I think that can be for us inside these walls is, again, because we feel that comfortableness, is sometimes we lose the reality that we're called for the poor, the widow, and the orphan, and the sojourner, and those who are in need. And really, that categorizes as people also who are looking for hope in the wrong places. Knowing that we have this amazing story, intertwined with God's story as we have joined him on mission, we have this amazing hope. I hope that that is eternal life that we can share at any time, and it can change someone's life forever. And we should be excited about this. We should go with confidence from here, because the simple thing that Jesus is really trying to tell us here is that he has overcome. We understand that he has overcome and he has gone through all of these things. As we look at, as you read Hebrews and the great cloud of witnesses and those who went before us and all the struggles they had, he has overcome. Jesus overcame sin for us. He died on the cross for us. He has overcome. And then it just leads to the next natural step. He has overcome, which means that if you are a Christ follower, if you believe in him, then you have overcome and you will overcome any of the fears that you have outside these walls. And it doesn't stop there, because you get a whole bunch of people who believe that they will overcome, and individuals that saying, yeah, I believe that I will overcome because Jesus overcome, and you put them all together in a room, and all of a sudden you've got a lovely church that says, we will overcome and we're not afraid. And the momentum just keeps on moving forward. Right? We sometimes forget those simple things that Jesus overcame it all for us. So if there is trouble in our lives, we can understand that we will overcome because he has overcome. That does not mean that it's going to be easy, and I don't want to have any conflicting statements about that, because life is going to be tough. I know for some of us, it can be jobs, it can be finances, it can be family, it can be health, whatever it is going on in our lives that fit into that category of trouble, that fit into that category of life being tough. Please remember this, that Jesus overcame it all, that through the trouble, through whatever you're going through, you will overcome. Because, and this is not just in a moment thing, this is an internal thing. I mean, I was sitting there yesterday as I was thinking about this last night, and this is not an in the moment thing. As a Christ follower, as a believer of Jesus, understanding that in this time there's going to be highs and lows and ups and downs and struggles, celebration and mourning, but this is an eternal thing. It goes far beyond just this moment in time to where we get to spend eternity with Christ. And every time I think of that in all the trouble, I realize that no matter if my body is failing or whatever is happening, that I will overcome. I will be spending eternity with my Lord and Savior. That's the hope we're talking about. That's the root of it all. And we take a look at this, and we forget that Jesus has overcome the world, right? And we look at, we continue on in this, and we see this great little part in verses 1 through 3 that says, after Jesus said all of this, he looked towards heaven and he prayed, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, for you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, that the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus tells them exactly what comes next. Exactly what they are supposed to do. The mission of God and the mission of Jesus for his disciples is set. And it's very simple. That you may know and glorify God. That's the first one, right? Right from the very beginning. He's praying that people will come to know and will glorify God. The second is that the world may know that Jesus was sent by God, that Jesus is the Son of God. And here's the big one, that the world may know that Jesus has the authority to grant eternal life, that only through him there is eternal life. Now, I don't know where we are this morning. And maybe some of you can tell me stories of how you've been Christ followers for 70 or 80 years. And some of you can say you're just new to this and you're dipping your feet in the water and you've got questions about this and you're not a Christ follower, you're not a Christian yet, and you're just showing up on these mornings and just trying to get to know more about Jesus. And I hope you can see here that not only is this this message is one for us as Christ followers, but it's a message for you as well. So that you can understand that Jesus wants to be with you. That Jesus died for you. And loves you unconditionally. And wants to come alongside you in those troubled times. And for us as Christ followers, there's that hope again showing up. How do we start to share that message of hope? Is understand that in these tough times, God is there. He gives our marching orders and he tells us what we need to do. It reminds me of 1 Peter 4:10, which says, "Whatever each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." And for us, we have to ask that question this morning to start taking those baby steps, to start going into the world and be willing to share, and be willing to share our own story and how God is intertwined with that. We have to be willing to ask that question of what is your gift and how are you going to use it for God? How are you going to use the things that you are great at and use them to glorify God? Now, I've done this in all sorts of ways. And I know I already told a golf story, but you're getting another one. Normally there's two seasons in my sermon life, just so you know and can expect. But normally it is in the winter, I just tell stories about my snowblower. And in the summer, I tell golf stories. But since it's pretty much summer year-round here, you're just going to get a bunch of golf stories. When I first asked this question, I really started to take it to heart of what gifts I've been given by God. What things am I even just good at and how I can use them to glorify God. And so I told myself, well, I love golf. And this isn't just me trying to justify, you know, every Sunday afternoon going to Sarah and saying, I'm heading out into the mission field and I've got my golf clubs on my back, which I know probably some of you are thinking, I see his strategy here. But I love going out on men's nights at the club, and every week I would just golf with a different set of people. And it is amazing how many times you just start talking with people and you're having great conversation, and about the third or the fourth hole, someone says, so what do you do? And then I say, well, I'm a pastor. And then it gets really interesting. Because you can see this panic in their eyes of, what did I say over the last three holes, right? And you golfers know it, that like over 18 holes, you'll go through every emotion in the book, right? You will start off and saying it's a beautiful day, and you'll get halfway down the first hole and you're ready to throw your clubs into the lake and say, I quit. But then you'll putt on the first hole and you'll drain a 20 footer and you're like, I love this game. And then you step off the second hole and hit into the woods and you're thinking, well, I'm just throwing my club where the ball went. And you just go through this roller coaster of emotions. And so everyone, I can tell in their eyes as they realize that I'm a pastor, they're like, oh no. But also a very interesting thing has come about from this is that more times than not, all of a sudden people start to launch into a very interesting narrative of, well, I went to church once, but, right? I used to go to Sunday school when I was a kid and my parents took me, but I do not go anymore. I believe in a higher power, but, and you can just keep on giving those all sorts of different excuses. And I take that time to just listen to the stories. I mean, I've had people tell me that they went to a church for 2 years and they walked in and they walked out for 2 years and not one person knew their name. And I remember telling them, I'm like, that is the easiest solution ever to get you back to church. You know, I thought this was going to be a tough thing. If you're telling me all I have to do is remember your name, then I can get you back in church, you know, this Sunday. And I'll promise I'll remember your name now. Don't get me wrong. I've got a lot of names to memorize here. All right. But it's as simple as starting that dialogue. And remember, we talked about last week that we are not just Christ followers, or our jobs are whatever they are, but or our vocation is whatever it is, but our life is that of a missionary. Are we willing to start to bring Jesus into the dialogue of our lives and really ask our and share with others these stories? I mean, I've got I don't want you to think that you don't have gifts. And no one should be sitting here being like, well, I'm not good at anything. And because I know that you don't. I know God has given you gifts. It's very straightforward. God has given all of you gifts for you to use to glorify him. And I remember having someone come into my office one day. She was about 80 years old. And she said, Luke, I don't have any gifts. And I'm not sure that there's anything I can do with regards to this. And I said, you've got to be kidding. Of course you've got gifts. You know, what are you good at? Like, what do people tell you that you are amazing at? And she's like, well, I love baking. I'm like, that's the best gift of all. And and I'm like, you're an amazing baker. Well, why don't you start to impact people in the community with that? And sure enough, she starts once a week. She drops by at the exact same time to the fire hall, which is just down to the street, and she would drop off a fresh baked pie. And she would visit with them, and she just comes in, and they loved seeing her. And every Sunday, every Wednesday when she would go in, she would bring a pie, and she'd bring a little "You're invited" card and invite them to church. And just when they asked, why do you keep bringing us pie? She says, because this is what I'm good at, and I want to show you that I love you, but more importantly, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And this was, I would go in there, after 6 months, I would go in there, because they knew me, and I'd walk in and say hello, and I could tell they were looking right past me. They were looking to see if Mrs. Hoffman was there with a pie, right? I knew who the most important person was, and the impact that she had was phenomenal. In the lives of these firefighters, and just saying something, just baking a pie and going in and loving on them and sharing the love of Jesus with them and sharing her story with them and why she does it impacted them immensely. Outside of just their own personal lives, the firefighters started reaching out to the church, which was running a preschool, and they would bring their fire trucks by just so the kids could play on it, right? And there's this realization that they're a part of the community and they have an essential service. In Sunrise, we are the church and we are an essential service in the areas where we live because we have the ability to share eternal life with people. So when I asked you last week what it means for you to look at your neighborhoods as a mission field, this week I'm asking, what are your gifts and how are you going to use them? Ask yourselves that question of what are you good at and how can and God use you? If you look on the screen here, I'm going to show you what you may think is Monopoly money, but it is not. This is the Canadian $5 bill. And of course, you can tell there's hockey on it. And so, but I wanted to share this because there's something cool that I found out about 5 years ago about this bill. You'll see under the right by the person on the toboggan, and above is, you guys know what a toboggan is. Yeah. Okay. And so, realize terminology we gotta work on, is that little tiny writing. And it's very interesting because that little writing says on there, the winters of our youth were long and cold, which is very true. But we spent our lives at three places: at school, at the ice rink, and at church. Isn't that interesting? And it's not interesting just because church is on there, but because church was integral with the other three. I mean, it goes on to say, but most of our time was at the ice rink. And it's true. But even on here is this, it shows that this is what life was like when people were really truly acting like missionaries in what we could call the simpler days or whatever it is. But there's this reality in here and with this that we need to go where community gathers. To be a part of community. We're a part of a community here. But when we go out these doors, we need to ask ourselves, where does community gather? And how are we a part of this? Where do we gather? On Sundays, we gather here with unity. And unity generates growth. Unity is what binds us together. And the joy that we have through the ups and downs. I can tell you right now that Satan loves to tear us apart. And Satan loves to make unity break down in church life. Because it's simple. He knows God wins. But that doesn't stop him at every turn from trying to put a stick in the spokes of life and trip us up or whatever it may be. He will do everything in our power to create disunity among us, to try and take that joy away from us. Where we are here on a Sunday morning in our small groups, our life groups, whatever we're a part of, is where we show this unity, show this joy of Christ. But that shouldn't change beyond these walls. Through the ups and downs, there's a difference between happiness and joy. I really believe happiness is fleeting, but true joy can only be found in Jesus Christ. True joy is one that no matter whether you're on top of a hill shouting the name of God or you're in a dark place, there is joy because God is there. I mean, the difference between happiness and joy is momentous. I know that this was in many ways a sad weekend for some of us here. As we said goodbye to family, we said goodbye to people we loved on Friday. On Saturday, there were funerals here. And yet, as though there's that moment of sad, there is joy. Because those people are not lost to us, are they? We know exactly where they are. There is joy in knowing that they're with their Heavenly Father right now. And there's joy for us knowing that we get to spend eternity with them as well if we follow Jesus. When Jesus looked over Jerusalem as he was coming into his final moments, he wept, realizing that there were people that he had not had a chance to impact yet. He looked at a city that was crying out for hope, and he hadn't had a chance to touch each, every one of them in a way where they could have eternal life. And it's why he's given this message to his disciples. Keep going. God will protect you. And I can only imagine that as we turn out from the parking lot this morning, as we look at the mission field of where we are heading, there is a city crying out for hope. Please don't forget the joy in Jesus. Don't forget this. Often we've said that phrase, right? Be in the world, but not of it. But really the mission of God is one that says, be not of the world, but sent into it. Jesus doesn't tell his disciples, I wish I could take you away with me. Instead, he prays for protection as they go. I'm not taking you away because you have got an impact to make. Ask yourself, what is your gift this week, and how are you going to use it for God? And let me tell you, lives will change as you start to impact those as you are sent into the world with the hope, again, that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can come together. I thank you that we can worship you. I thank you that, God, I just got to spend this 8 days with Sunrise, with family, with people who just love you. And God, we love you, and we lift that up, and we just pray that we will take that love, we will take what we are good at, those gifts you've given us, and send us into the world, and send us to share that message of hope. That these baby steps, as we start to discover what it means to follow you, are turn into a walk and then a run as we just relentlessly pursue building your kingdom. And God, if there are those here this morning who need to know you, who don't know you, who've been asking questions, I pray that this morning is the morning that they realize that you are the one true hope, that you change lives. God, once people know you, they are impacted for life, for eternity. And our prayer this morning for us as Sunrise is that we will do just that. that we will impact the world, knowing that what we do can change people's lives for eternity. We pray these things in your holy and amazing name.